वेद असल में एक हिसाब से मैडम अध्यात्म से जुड़ता है, मन बड़ा प्रसन्न रहता है वेद से, मन में कोई विकार नहीं, कोई कलेश नहीं, कोई टेंशन नहीं, ना किसी का बुरा सोचना है, ना किसी का बुरा करना है, एक अलग टाइप का मन में बड़ा अच्छा भाव रहता है। क्योंकि वो सारी आयुर्वेद की किताबें पढ़ेंगे तो उसमें सारा शिव ने ये किया, उसकी खोज इंद्र जो की खोज इंद्र ने, भगवान शिव ने बताई कि इंद्र जो यहाँ मिलेगी, ऐसे ऐसे किस्से कहानियां हैं, तो वो कहानी टाइप की भी बड़ा मजा आता है। तो आयुर्वेद मतलब ये मान लीजिए कि एक तरीके से ईश्वर का ही दूसरा रूप मान लीजिए, माता पिता मान लीजिए, माता पिता जैसे हमको जन्म देते हैं लेकिन जीवन हमको आयुर्वेद देता है।
This was today's powerful message from the one who laid the foundation of Amritam with his hard work and in-depth knowledge of Ayurveda, our very own Ashok uncle. And you know what? His presence on this season's very first episode makes this season even more special. Welcome to Season 2 of Rediscovering Self with Amritam. Amritam is an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community growing globally, celebrating nature, beauty and mindful living. This is your host, Shweta Dalmia, and on this season, we together take the journey of building a healthier, happier and fuller life through the power of incredibly powerful Ayurveda. Yes, it's about our health, our happiness and that too at our own place, our very own Amritam, your Amritam. Let's get started! Welcome Naina and Dr. Vishali on Rediscovering Self with Amritam. Today we are talking about lifestyle diseases like stroke, heart diseases, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, hormonal imbalance. And you know, like somewhere these diseases have become like so common. Like, you know, I was actually talking to someone earlier to this call. So that person actually mentioned ki theek hai, ab to age ho gayi hai itni, you know, these are common. So I really want to understand this with you people today that do we have to make these diseases as the new normal? Do we have to be like, theek hai, ye to har dusre insaan ko ho hi raha hai. So I don't think that we have to make it the new normal, not neither in our lives nor in our minds. So today, let's actually rediscover this. Let's actually know that how can Ayurveda really help us prevent and manage lifestyle disorders?
Okay. So, hi, Amritam. This is Dr. Vishali. And today, since we are speaking about Ayurveda and lifestyle disorder, before we actually move to what lifestyle disorders are, let's talk a little bit of what Ayurveda actually means. So Ayurveda basically is the science of life. Ayur means life and Veda means science. So Ayurveda is the science of life, and Ayurveda is the only pathy, or we can say system of medicine, that talks about preventive health before they talk about the curative health. Before they talk about the treatment, they talk about how to prevent certain disorders. And when these texts were written, the Ayurvedic texts were written years ago, they have still mentioned about lifestyle disorders in these texts, because they knew that sometime, you know, on the earth, there are going to be people who are going to be very lazy, who are going to have sedentary lifestyles, who are going to disrupt their morning and evening routines, who are going to mess with their nighttime routines, mess with their sleep, and then ultimately catch certain disorders, which is going to hamper their lifestyle and also their metabolism, digestive system, their circadian rhythm, and everything. And while they were writing these texts, they have written about the treatment and the preventive protocol both. So when we think of, you know, how diversified Ayurvedic texts are, or how beautifully they have written every minute detail of certain disorders that can come years later, that, you know, helps us understand how important Ayurveda is in today's lifestyle, or how important holistic healing is in today's world. Now, again, coming to the lifestyle disorders, what exactly is lifestyle disorders? As the name says, lifestyle means how we are leading our life, right? So what makes a lifestyle? Your daily habits makes a lifestyle. When you're doing something repeatedly, when you're following a certain routine repeatedly, that becomes your lifestyle. If on some days I'm waking up, let's say by 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and some days I am waking up by, let's say, 6 a.m. because I have certain work to do, that is showing that maybe 3 times a week I'm waking up at 6 a.m. and 3 times a week I'm waking up at, 3-4 times a week I'm waking up at 9 a.m. That shows that, I have somewhere messed up with my circadian rhythm where I'm messing up with the rhythm of the sun. Exactly, right? So some days on these different days, my eating patterns would be different. My daily routine would be different. The time that I take bath would be different. And the time that I go to sleep again would be different. Right? And this is where erratic lifestyle begins. Now, this is a mixture of a good and a bad lifestyle. Now, few people have a good lifestyle. They would wake up on time, wake up early, sleep early and everything. And few people have a bad lifestyle where they would wake up late and sleep late. So these particular habits that we build on a daily basis or these routines that we follow on a daily basis makes our lifestyle. If you're following a particular routine on a single day, your body is very intelligent. It can cope up with that. But if I'm following a bad routine or a bad lifestyle for a longer run, my body is going to try to resist, but then ultimately it's going to show symptoms where there can be slow metabolism, digestive disturbances, poor gut health, poor gut microbiome, issues with the hormones, poor sleep cycle, poor toilet habits. And then ultimately, we can go towards obesity, hypertension, liver disorders, diabetes, PCOS, thyroid, everything. So that's how we generally define what lifestyle disorders are. So now I'm going to give it to Nena when she can talk about, what Ayurveda and lifestyle disorders are. And then we'll move ahead from there.
Thank you, Dr. Vishali. Thank you. My name is Nena. And I work mainly on a lifestyle level, actually, with people. I'm not a registered doctor or anything. And I come from the pharmacy background. So I think my experience working in the pharmacy was I did come face to face with a lot of these kinds of disorders. And like you said, Shweta, I think the most disturbing thing is how normalized it's become. And this is what concerns me, actually, because I think, so many times we hear if the mother or father have a problem or it's in the family, it's almost like the younger generation are just going to take on that normalized thing and they're going to almost create it in their life because they're just following that pattern. So I think a lot can be done from the level of the mind in recognizing that, okay, it's not normal to have these problems and what can be done in light of that. What can I change from now? And I feel a lot of that can be done on the mental level, actually, just not thinking that you are just repeating the same pattern and really becoming your true self, not the repetitive biological body that we're taking on, just from our parental line. And I think that can have a strong stance on it. But in terms of lifestyle disorders, yes, I think we had a really nice introduction there about Ayurveda and how it does work preventatively, which is wonderful. But also it would be nice to make sure that we do those things from a place of also just from understanding that they're good for us. And, there's a feel-good factor to it. Otherwise, we'll be operating from fear. And that's not what we want to do with our habits and our lifestyle. We don't want to be doing it because we're scared we're going to get heart disease. That's why I'm doing it. It's like, no, there's got to be a deeper understanding because there is a deeper understanding to these things, like connecting to the sun, connecting to yourself spiritually. Why you want to wake up early? Are you happy in your life? Is that why you're doing it? So that, I think, will feed into preventing the lifestyle disorders as well. But it's a wonderful science to tackle lifestyle disorders. And this is something that the Ayurvedic pharmacy I'm really passionate about, is tackling health-related problems from a primary care level. So that, because often people come to Ayurveda when they've got the disorder, right? And really, it should be the other way around. They should come to Ayurveda first at the primary care level. Then if it gets that bad, then maybe allopathic medicine is going to help. But I think making that switch it's going to be something that we're all going to have to put effort into, I think, as a new generation, which is exciting, actually, but also a lot of work as well. But there's tremendous potential, I think, to turn things around, to reverse some of these disorders and to really bring out a healthier population.
You know, it's incredible, like what Dr. Vishali earlier mentioned about that, like so many years ago also in Ayurveda, we have been talked about such things. Like, this is nothing sort of, you know, like an incredible power. Like, they already knew that something of this kind could happen. And what you also talked about, Naina, like, I read this somewhere that Ayurveda actually focuses on a whole person healing. So it's not just, you know, healing a organ separately. It heals you mentally, spiritually, holistically, and all your organs. And, you know, like, one of the things which I have observed today is that, like, jab tak kuch kharab na ho, tab tak we do not realize ki kuch ho sakta hai. For example, we go for a test, we find, okay, we are borderline diabetic. We're like, okay, now I need to do something. We go for a blood pressure, we find out, okay, shayad BP ho sakta hai. That is the point we start thinking, yeah, what can I do? That is the point we start actually Googling that, okay, what drinks to take, what lifestyle to follow. But today, let's actually start with what are the few things which everyone, me, every listener listening to us right now can do so that they do not have these disorders, be it of any age group. I would actually start from very young age to very old age.
Right. So see, I'll add two more points here. When we say that this is something which is prevalent nowadays, right? Mm. We see a lot of people suffering from lifestyle disorders. Every third girl in the row has PCOS.
Yes.
Every seventh person has thyroid disorder, right? Now, when we talk of prevalence, something is very interesting to talk about here. Lifestyle disorders or something like heart disorder, diabetes, hypertension, or something like, let's say, liver disorder, or, you know, obesity was something that came very later in the life for people few years back, right? Few years back, maybe let's say 30 years ago, people used to get these kind of disorders or heart stroke even maybe when they were 50s or 55s, because that is when the degeneration has happened already.
Yeah.
But if we look at today's world, even people in their 20s have hypertension.
Yes.
People have liver disorders. People have issues with diabetes. They're pre-diabetic even when they are in their 20s. And that is something which is interesting and frightening at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. And when we think of this particular thing, we must understand that this is the right time when we must take a right approach towards healing our food, towards taking care of our dietary part, towards taking care of our daily routine, and taking care of our sleep ultimately. Right. Second thing, you see, in India, males have a protruded belly. Right, that's something which is very common in India. They have a protruded belly. Why does you know that happen? Once they age, number one, stress is something that steeps in. Second, sleep deprivation that comes in, right? And these are the studies that shows that protruded belly in males in India is directly linked to hormonal disruptions, deficiency of vitamin D, stress, and sleep disturbances, right? And, you know, we see that this is very common in India. So now see, again, all these factors which are responsible for obesity or increased belly is, again, something coming from your lifestyle, right? And that is why it becomes very important for all of us to talk and change our lifestyles nowadays. And when we think of the preventive part, like what can we do now? So number one, I would say, is awareness. Jab tak hame pata hi nahi hoga ki kya hote hain lifestyle disorders, tab tak ke hum uske bare mein samajh nahi sakte, ya fir we cannot do anything that can help us prevent us. Now, awareness can come in two ways. Number one, you get the lifestyle disorder by yourself, right? And number two, education. So number one is a harsh thing to happen to anyone, because you get the lifestyle disorders anyway, you're going to be aware that, yes, I have to work on it. But number two is education, where self-education is also important, and also educating people around you is very important. So if you know about lifestyle disorders today, like, you don't belong to a medical background, but if you know about it, you know, you can let other people know. And that is what the purpose of this podcast is, basically, right? So to create awareness. So awareness is the first and foremost thing that must come when we talk about dealing with lifestyle disorders. Number two, taking care of our daily routine, which is dincharya. Again, what time do we wake up? What time do we go to sleep again? We have three chances of, giving ourselves nectar, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and three chances of poisoning ourselves, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our food plays a very important role in defining our overall health. Now, when we think of food, how a balanced diet generally looks like. The balanced diet, a definition of balanced diet is different for different individual and also for one individual at different stages of their life. So it's a broad concept, but still if you want to generalize it, we must have a biodiversified diet where there must not be only the staples that we eat nowadays, which is roti, sabzi, dal, chawal. Agar hum wo bhi khate hain, so there must be biodiversified diet. Like some days you're having wheat, some days you're having jawar, some days you're having bajra, some days you're having makka. In terms of legumes, some days you're having moong, then tuor, then red lentil, right? In terms of beans, some days you're having kidney beans, chole and everything. And in terms of vegetables, a good quantity of vegetable when it comes to your breakfast, lunch and dinner is also very important. Also talking about protein, if someone is vegan, they can go for tofu, edamame and other thing. And if someone is a non-vegan, they can go for like a vegetarian, they can go for paneer and milk and everything. Or jo non-vegetarian, so they can go for chicken and everything. So this is a balanced diet hai where your diet is biodiversified. So you are having a lot of nutrients, a lot of grains and legumes and pulses and everything all together. And this is how you can plan your meal for the week. So this is what I do generally, to avoid the chaos when it comes to cooking and taking care of work and everything. So I make a planner for the complete week where I know what I'm going to have during breakfast, lunch and dinner, even 3 days later from now. Right, that helps you also plan your meals, and that also helps you improve your nutrient profile. So taking care of food becomes a very important part. Secondly, I cannot emphasize more on sleep. Sleep is something which is the most underrated medicine nowadays. And generally what happens is you think ki aaj to main jaldi soungi, but then when it's the night,
it never
you
happens.
Feel ki ek right. I can stretch one more hour.
Exactly.
Right? And you wake up with a lot of determination, with a lot of motivation. Yeah. But when it's the time to sleep, you basically stretch. Mm. And that's why, taking care of sleep becomes a very crucial part, because, somewhere you try and resist doing that particular thing for yourself. So sleep deprivation becomes a very important thing when it comes to taking care of lifestyle disorder, because sleep is the time when your body restores itself. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is the time when your kidney is flushing out the toxins, your brain is flushing out the toxins. There are recent studies on that, when your brain is actually, some cells are shrinking and there's a rush of fluid happening in the brain, which is removing unnecessary thoughts and restoring memory in terms of things that are important for it, right? So your brain is actually flushing out the toxins. Your liver is doing the housekeeping, where it's working on the energy, working on the metabolism and everything, right? So this is how beautiful role sleep plays when it comes to your lifestyle. So 10 p.m. is 2 a.m. is the time when you're generally when today's generation is generally munching on something or Netflixing or reading
social
or
media.
Maybe studying, right? Right, exactly. So that's how important sleep is. So second thing, first thing is your diet and then your sleep. And the third thing that I would say is your exercise routines. If you're not exercising at all, that makes you more prone to have insulin resistance, ultimately increased insulin levels, and then ultimately insulin resistance, which is again one of the major causes of PCOS nowadays, right? So inflammation and insulin resistance together become a main cause of PCOS nowadays. So if you're not working out on a daily basis, maybe you work out for 25-30 minutes, but do it consistently. Ayurveda says that you must work out half of your strength. So nowadays, jo cheeze hoti hai na, ki I'm working out maybe 1 hour in general, I work out till my body is sweating hard. Hai na? Wo nahi hai Ayurveda. Ayurveda says ki aap work out till half of your body strength, but do it daily. So, people are nowadays extremists. Either they'll work out maybe 1.5 hour or they won't work out at all. So Ayurveda is all about balance ultimately. It's about consistency, right? So they say that you work out every day, but work out half of your strength, but do it consistently. Why is that important? Again, workout plays a very important role in taking care of your metabolism. So you won't gain weight if you're working out regularly. So you'll have an optimum body built, which is having a good BMI ultimately. Secondly, if you're working out, the insulin levels are at check, right? Third, if you're working out, your body releases, you know, certain neurotransmitters, which are natural painkillers. You know, your body releases endorphins while you're working out, which are natural painkillers. Then your body releases serotonin while you're working out, which is a natural mood enhancer. Now, working out has a lot of benefits altogether. It's also good for your muscle mass. It's also good for your RMR, which is resting metabolic rate, right? So that's how important these three things are when it comes to prevention of Ayurveda, prevention of lifestyle disorders, sorry. So, which is, you know, your diet, your sleep, and your workout routines. So yeah, this is what I have to say. Now, giving it over to Naina again.
Yeah, I mean, I would say similar things as Dr. Vaishali, like the standard lifestyle kind of measures. One, I don't know why it seems to come into my kind of vicinity, and my passion is to really look at the deeper roots of why we're not sleeping. Why are we not eating right? Because I think from my own experience, like even I struggle with proper dietary habits. So, and I've read the text and I even teach it to people, but still I struggle with it. Yes. So there is this underlying vibration that's happening that obviously other people will be going through as well. And one of the things I would pick out from the knowledge is the amount of pranic stimulation that we have in our day-to-day life. So, you know, nowadays there is a lot of noise, there's a lot of talking, there's a lot of technology visually, there's always just a lot going on. Like life on the outside is getting busier and busier and busier and busier. And that's totally messing up our prana, right? Like on that level. So I also think it's, you know, in terms of we're talking about lifestyle, how to prevent these things, it might just be some time to take a step back and look at how I can calm that kind of energy down a bit and take certain things out from my life that might be disturbing my energy and my mind. Because ultimately, like Dr. Vaishali said, when we're sleeping, it's actually mental digestion is happening. So think about it. If I went to a restaurant and I wanted to eat the entire menu, it wouldn't be possible because we feel sick because our digestive capacity is not that large. So why do we think we can take in so much mentally and we don't think that there's going to be anything left over? You know, like we've got to understand that we can only mentally digest a certain amount, and what we apply to our food is actually also what we have to apply to ourselves on a mental level, of what we can digest on that level. And then on top of that, if we don't give ourselves enough sleep, there's no way we can digest all of our experiences and everything we took in that day. Then in the morning, you might wake up early. This is maybe why we're not waking up early, you know, because our mind is so heavy and dense. We just think, oh, I can't be bothered. And then we can't be bothered to make ourselves proper breakfast. And then there's so many things to do. You're like, I've just got too much stuff to do. I can't think about making proper food. Like, and it's like a knock-on effect. So, you know, tackling it from a deeper level, it's about simplifying our life and not kind of expecting Ayurveda to mop up the pieces of this hectic life. Because I think the way that we're living is not actually conducive to how the human body is going to be healthy. So it's going to be like a dual effort of using the knowledge of Ayurveda, but also looking at the way life is and not getting too swept up into it and trying to make a life that fits into that busy, chaotic way of life. And then secondly, I would say also on a mental level, is that there's a lot of societal norms that I think can cause some deeper levels of disturbance within us.
I agree.
I mean, I've been in India for a year, So moving from England to India, I've come across certain things. Like, it's a really big thing if you're not a little bit on weight. Like, if I go anywhere, that's the first thing people say, like, oh my God, why are you so thin? You know? And then I look at some people and I'm like, wow, actually, that's a little bit overweight, but it's called healthy. So, you know, like, I was like, wow, like, people think that being a bit overweight is healthy, which, I mean, it is probably on the standard of, you know, this skinny model prototype that we've set, but we can't, I think, let that cloud what might be healthy. And also not judge, you know. So I think all body shapes can be healthy. So there's a lot of that societal norm. And then also, you know, the pressures on women to look a certain way, to live a certain way, or to be in a certain environment. Same for men as well. There's a lot that can be tackled on a cultural and societal level that might be feeding in to our lifestyle habits that are not helping us to change. You know, you're not going to go against what your elders tell you. You're not going to stop doing something. So it's a little bit tricky because we have to kind of use this knowledge, but in a respectful way that is showing the next generation and our family, look, I'm not doing this to offend anybody. I just feel I know what's right for me and I'm going to go on that journey. So, and then another aspect I would say is overall happiness with life. I don't know about you guys. I think everybody can agree with this. If we are happy in our relationships, in our job, in, you know, where we are environmentally, these lifestyle changes come so naturally. I've had so many clients where, like, they've made a big change in their life and they're like, oh, I just naturally wake up early now without an alarm clock. It's like, yeah, because you're happy, because your body's gone into that rhythm. So I think, you know, we can't forget that aspect. You've got to make yourself happy. And find that happiness from within. And then everything kind of flowers after that. You know, it's almost like that baseline thing that we've got to work from in terms of lifestyle disorders. And I feel actually relationships are a massive one. Be it with your mother, your father, family member, your partner, friendships. If there's a conflict or something going on, it just puts you completely off, doesn't it? Like, it's really difficult to focus on your work. It's difficult to make effort to do things. It's really difficult. So, you know, that kind of working on your relationships is actually a massive medicine. It's a really, really, really big medicine to work on your relationships and not underestimating the power of that community and that support from healthy relationships to make those lifestyle changes. You know, we can't take it all on ourselves. Maybe we need someone to say, look, I'm really busy with work. It'd be really helpful if you cook the lunch. And I will do this later. And, you know, working together in your environment to bring that about. And, I would also say, I've written here some notes, the right things come to you when you're ready. So a lot of Ayurveda is very prescriptive. And I think sometimes we end up taking on too much and feeling like, oh, my God, I've got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And it's a bit overwhelming. So just take really small steps. Like, even just the tiniest step make the big difference. And the right remedy, the right book, the right course, the right food, it will actually start coming to you if you keep your eyes open. That's what I would say about lifestyle disorders, is that Ayurveda is beautiful because it provides us with an external, you know, outer prescriptive thing, but we've also got to do the work on ourselves for that to flower and to also come quite naturally for us to be able to actually put it into place, especially on the mental side of things. I think that's one of the biggest issues that we all have nowadays, is this mental fog and this inability to digest everything and taking on too much, and this is what's stopping us from living a healthy, balanced life.
You know, you raised a good point, Naina, here. And also, like, you know, something which I experienced like years ago was something similar, that when, you know, stress increases and we just tend to, you know, focus on what's not working, and we say forget about our diet, I forgot about, say, going to work out daily. So a friend told me that, okay, Shweta, you know, things are not working right now for you, but that does not mean that you're going to leave your workouts. That does not mean that you are just going to, you know, binge eat. Because otherwise, the problem is not solving, but you're also spoiling your health because of it. So that ability to actually understand, I feel it's genuinely very important. Also, like, guys, now tell me this thing that, okay, for example, if someone has actually got these disorders, someone has diabetes, obesity, or other disorders, what can they do? Like, what does, is there a bright end to their road? And also, Vishali, please talk to us about, like, for example, if someone is facing sleep deprivation, how can he or she manage that?
Before we move on to that, I think we must also cover a little bit about the stress part, which Naina has beautifully covered already, but I just want to add a little bit of things there. See, the thing is, when it comes to stress, a lot of time people aren't aware that they are stressful.
Yeah.
Mental health is something which wasn't given a lot of attention maybe 10 years from ago. This is very recent that even the youth is trying to be very much aware of what exactly mental, emotional, and psychological health is, right? And they would work on improving their mental health. Now, that can be done by the youth in two ways. Number one, either they connect to someone or something spiritually, or, you know, they connect with their family members, like she talked about relationships. But there is other dark end to it, which is drugs. You know, the youth is going a lot towards smoking, drinking, drugs like weed and everything, right? And that is also something, while they're working on improving their mental health, but that is something which is actually declining their mental and physical health ultimately, right? So that is also something that needs to be taken care of ultimately when it comes to lifestyle disorder. Although this is a very, you know, we can say a small pointer, but still is very, very important and very relevant in today's time, right? Because the youth is actually going towards the darker end. And I'm not talking about youth that is independent financially. I'm also talking about the youth which is in their teenage, maybe boys. Yesterday, I watched a video on Twitter. This video is from somewhere from South India, where there's this 15-year-old boy, and his mother finds out that he has been smoking up weed and he's getting addicted to it. And then she ties him up through a pole, and then she has put chili powder on his eye. And then she's saying that I will wipe it off once you say that you will quit. Now, these kind of extremist efforts is what the parents are taking nowadays, just to get their kids off drugs or something. And 15-year-old boy is not financially independent. That boy is in the growing phase, and that is where the youth is going nowadays. And that is also something, now this particular situation is going to stress out him, his father, his mother, and his complete family. And that is again the point where stress comes in. So stress is something which is prevalent nowadays. You have it, Naina has it, I have it, right? We all have stress to some or the other level. But de-stressing on a daily basis, doing things that helps you improve your mental health. It can be breath walks, it can be meditation, it can be walking in the nature, it can be going out and meeting with friends, it can be talking to a particular family member. Anything that de-stresses yourself on a daily basis, we must do that.
And so
that
is also not something. Living in the future.
Exactly. Living in the present one day at a time is a very important interventional step that needs to be taken, right? So yeah, that is how, stress and emotional well-being plays an important role.
Over to you, Naina.
Okay. So I would work through the five elements in this, actually, because I think all of them need probably just a little bit of nourishment and balancing. So we can look at them on a physical level, but also on a more subtle level. Starting with ether, the Akash element, I think giving yourself some space is really important, and creating some space for yourself, because it's most likely that your life has become a bit too packed up. So that space, I think, is necessary. So I think, this is going to sound really silly, but I think it actually makes a big improvement. Tidy up your room, clear out your cupboards, like start simplifying everything in your life. Make some space in your routine for something beautiful like creativity or taking a walk, like actually put it in your schedule. This is my rest time. Because I think that space is going to help to move along whatever is stagnant. Mm. It's going to help move along toxins that have accumulated. And it's also going to get out a lot of emotional things that are left over that are probably weighing you down and contributing to the lifestyle disorder. So create that space and do something beautiful with it. And even if it just means just being in that space, not necessarily having to do something all the time, is a really important thing. And I think on a physical level, you know, creating that space with a little bit of fasting, if you can, is incredibly beneficial. I know it can be difficult, but it can be really good, like do a lot for the digestive system and also your mind as well. And then we've got the air element of movement. So I think, you know, I know nowadays we kind of stigmatize Vata imbalance and give it a little bit of a bad name, like, oh, Vata, 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 Vata. But actually a balanced Vata is really important because it's going to keep you moving in life in the direction that you want to be going to. It's going to give you the energy and the lift to get up and do what you need to do. So we can't underestimate that. So, you know, it's about choosing where to move in your life. And that's going to come from giving yourself space. So create that space and then decide carefully, where am I going to put my energy? Mm. Am I going to put my energy into these lifestyle changes? Or am I going to put my energy into socializing again on a Friday night? I know it's not good for me. So just, you know, pausing, creating that space for yourself will allow you to move in the right direction and actually think for yourself rather than just going on this, you know, fast moving rate of life with your old habits and everything too fast. And then we've got the fire element there. So, you know, when that goes out of balance, obviously we get the heat disturbances, the pitta imbalances. But actually, on a more subtle level, that fire is incredibly important for transformation. And this is what we've got to be ready for in lifestyle change. Like, we've really got to be ready to transform ourselves. So on a subtle level, you know, that can be, you don't have to ingest hot things to activate that fire. You could just maybe work with a little bit of, with the sun, you know, start worshipping the sun a little bit more, or start doing some Trataka meditation, you know, gazing at the candle, you know, igniting some kind of spark within you, doing some core exercises as well, like just activating that oomph within you to get up and go, to get ready to change yourself. So I think transformation is a big part, and being ready to transform. Yes. So we can learn about these lifestyle disorders and then feel like, oh, I don't want heart disease, I don't want high cholesterol, all of these things. But that change has got to come from a place of I really don't want it. You know, like there's got to be this effort to do it, otherwise it's not going to be sustainable. And you'll do loads of stuff, but you won't be able to do it for the rest of your life. So you've got to choose routine and daily lifestyle according to what's suited to you, and not punish yourself if you can't give up everything and you can't do everything at once. It's going to be a slow journey. But that willingness to change is going to help. You know, I think if you take one step forward, the grace behind you is going to give you a huge push from the back. It's just the effort to take that first step. And then the water element, I think, really nicely represents how we flow with life. So acceptance, my gosh, acceptance in life and forgiveness and just moving and accepting at the pace things are meant to be. Stop trying to force things to happen. Stop trying to make your life something too much. Accepting and going, moving with the flow and being adaptable. Like this is so good for our ego to bring it down, to realize, okay, I'm not in control of everything. There are other people living here and I've got to respect that. So adapting to your circumstances, looking at everything from that level and moving with that flow. Also the water element is about connecting to your emotions, connecting to the feminine energy a little bit more, being a bit softer with yourself and not so masculine and rigidly straightforward. Like we all are, I think, in this world, it's very masculine dominated. So that water element, I think, is a very nurturing part, but also so powerful because you could let go and adapt and feel that you are, you know, that divine mother's energy is holding you anyway. Trusting, trust and acceptance in your path can really be helpful. And then the earth element. So let's be real. Let's get grounded, okay? And work with the earth. Like stand barefoot when you can. Connect to nature. Start growing plants. Start recognizing nature within yourself. Take trips in nature. Find something that's bigger than your problems, you know? And going back to what Dr. Vishali said about the habits and the poor tendencies that we have, I mean, I'm living in Rishikesh and I see it. It's an incredible amount of the youth. It is such a normal thing to smoke up. And it's, you know, you can't really go around saying, stop, 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 got to change. It's like I'm looking at it all and I'm like, wow, this is really showing something about our generation. But my advice on that would be to, if there's a teenager listening, is to do something that's bigger than it.
Yes.
So then it naturally drops off. Like if you're really involved in your passion and you're doing something, you will forget to smoke up because you'll be so involved in it that you won't even think about it. So really look for what is bigger than your habits, and that's going to be for your benefit. So it's not like we're telling someone, stop, stop, stop. It's like, no, it will fall off naturally. Just seek something bigger. Like you're in a box, but you don't realize it, that there's a whole world out there that's much bigger than this. So I think recognizing that, and I think the earth element is quite good for that in a way that it brings you into this reality a little bit, and you see your opportunity that you have here, and you do have a dharma to fulfill. So go and do it, you know, make that your reason to live. And that's going to push you out from your ego and do something a little bit bigger than those habits. So the earth element's quite grounding for that. And it gives you the stability to follow through on that. So I think that, you know, if you work with the elements on a subtle level, collectively for the mind, it can really help to move out from these lifestyle disorders.
You know, Naina, you genuinely took our heart away on this, and you raised some of, you know, really valid points, something which we all can do. And like the way you presented it, I think it was like really amazing. And like the elements you talked about, how can we incorporate all these elements, like really amazing. So like, thank you for sharing like that perspective with us. Thank you for showing us that, okay, there's this another picture also that exists and that all of us can be a part of it. So thank you, Naina. Thank you, Dr. Vishali, for being with us today. I'm sure that this is going to actually lead us towards a happier, healthier and fuller lives. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us, Shweta.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.